false god of materialism. Some of the idols we will be looking at together are mentioned very little in the scriptures. They are distinctively modern. Materialism is not. It is as old as man himself. And the Bible is filled with warnings about this false god and the danger he brings to those who worship. For an Old Testament warning, we turn to the book of Psalms, the 49th Psalm. We shall read the psalm beginning at the first verse. Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all who live in this world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that wise men die. The foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. Selah. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men praise you when you prosper, he will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish. To the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Begin to read at verse 19. Reading down to the end of the chapter. This is what our Lord has to say about this false god. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May God bless to our hearts the reading and the preaching of his own holy and infallible word. For the benefit of those of you who weren't here 2 weeks ago, I preached an introductory sermon to a series entitled 20th Century Idols. And from now until the end of August, God willing, we hope to look at some of the idols, the false gods, who are worshipped in our world. And we outlined a number of reasons for such a study. I want to begin, as I've said this evening, with the God of materialism. Materialism. What is materialism? What does it mean to be a materialist? Well, it is connected with the word matter. Matter as opposed to spirit. Materialism is first of all a philosophy. And then inevitably and secondly, it is a view of life. The concise Oxford Dictionary defines it this way. Materialism, the opinion that nothing exists but matter. The tendency to prefer material possessions to spiritual values. So first of all, it is a philosophy. The opinion that nothing exists but matter. Nothing exists but what we can see and touch and taste and smell and hear and apprehend with our senses. There is no such thing as the soul. There is no such being as God. There is no such thing as heaven or hell. There is nothing but matter. Everything comes from primordial atoms. All reality is material. Even our personalities are only the product of chemicals within our brains. And then obviously, because nothing exists but matter, the only thing that can be important in life is matter, material, things, possessions, money. So these things are worshipped, and a materialist is a man or woman who lives for material things. This is a very old idol. This idol has always been worshipped. This is a very popular idol, more popular today than ever. This is a very powerful idol. Some of the other idols we'll be looking at lose their power as we grow older. They appeal to us when we're young, but as we age, they lose their appeal. This idol of materialism is just the opposite. Its influence increases as we grow older, and the temptation to be materialistic becomes stronger with advancing age. Very, very few 20-year-olds are materialistic. They're mostly idealistic. But as middle age comes on, that idealism fades. And the person who was a romantic at 20 is a materialist at 40. Things, money, come to matter more and more. I want us to look firstly at the demands of the idol, secondly at the subtlety of the idol, and thirdly at the failure of the idol. This belief that money is the most important thing in life, that possessions are the most important thing in life, that our life consists in the abundance of the things which we possess. First then, the demands of the idol. This idol makes demands. All gods make demands. And this idol is totalitarian, as other gods are. This idol is jealous. This idol is all demanding. This idol says, you must have no other gods before me. This false god claims everything from its followers and worshippers. Those who live for materialism must sacrifice their time and their strength and their rest and their health and their relationships and friendships and their moral values and indeed even life itself in the pursuit and service of the God. It will eventually claim everything. And you only need to look around you in the world to see people who are living for things. The new cooker, the new car, the new holiday, the new clothes. These are what are important to them. These are what bring them joy. These are what make them feel secure. This is what they work for. This is what excites them. We see the demands of the idol more clearly when we look at it on a large scale, not in the individual so much as in society. You will all have followed the recent election campaign. I'm sure you must have noticed how the campaign was total, unashamed materialism from beginning to end. There was only one campaign issue. Which party will do better for us materially? That's how they campaigned. The Liberal Democrats made a few vague non-material noises. The Conservatives and the Labour Party made none whatsoever. It was thoroughgoing materialism from beginning to end. Each party said, your standard of living is safe with us, the other party will damage it. Conservatives had their solutions, the Labour Party had their solutions, but it was sheer naked materialism. The whole discussion was, will John Smith's tax plans hurt so-and-so? Will the new Conservative incentives damage so-and-so? Is the health service safe? What about industrial policy? Economic materialism. And that's how the nation decided. And that's why one party won and the other party lost. People voted with their pockets and their bank books and their standard of living. The very name of that great organization into which we as a nation have been drawn is significant. The European Economic Community. That is a vast international engine, and its stated function is economic. Nothing is allowed to stand in the way of the God of materialism. From the middle of the last century, democracy began to come to the fore in the nations of the Western world. And governments were elected by the votes of the people. And to gain power, politicians decided to promise the people material prosperity. That was the bribe that was held out for their vote. They didn't talk so much, at least in later years especially, about a juster society, or a purer society, or a more loving or noble or dignified society. No, it was economic prosperity. And everything had to be sacrificed to that. So you had the Industrial Revolution. People were taken into the countryside, taken out of the countryside and herded together in the great cities, in slums. And women and children were put into the factories and the mines. And the machine started exercising its malign influence on human society, governing when people got up, when they went to bed, when they began to work, when they stopped work. Why? Because it was cheaper. Because it was more efficient. And we had the growth of the modern welfare state, guaranteeing to every citizen a material sufficiency. And as the government made more and more promises to the people, the government had to print more and more money to pay for those promises. So we had the specter of inflation, and money began rapidly to lose its value. And as the industrial and technological revolution continues, we see its effects. Nothing can stand in its way. If the environment has to be polluted, it has to be polluted. If scarce resources have to be taken, if the seabed has to be stripped of fish in the interests of economy, that's what has to be done. If the countryside has to be ravaged and despoiled to get cheap coal, that's what has to be done. If men have to be thrown out of work so that robots' production lines come in because they're cheaper, that's what has to be done. If people have to work in the middle of the night when they should be sleeping in their beds because that's a cheaper way of producing material, that's what has to be done. If it has to be 7 day working, that's what has to be done. Everything must conform. Everything must fit in. Everything must agree with the bottom line. If millions and millions of people in the third world have to be kept in abject poverty and disease so that our standard of living may be protected and the prices for our manufactured goods kept up, then that's what has to be done. The God must be served. He must receive his sacrifices. In the month of June, the leaders of the free world will meet together to discuss the destruction of the environment, the pollution of this planet. And no later than this past week, the President of the United States of America has stated, "I will agree to nothing that will weaken the American standard of living. Nothing. The world may be destroyed, but the great God must be served." The tyranny of the bottom line. This is a demanding God. This is a cruel God. A God which leaves human wreckage in his wake, a God who is threatening the very future of this planet on which we live. Everyone wants more, and there isn't enough. There isn't enough. So even war is necessary to serve the God, and fearful weapons of mass destruction are necessary to serve the God. And we may see in the next century huge national slave camps as the poorer nations of the world have to be kept penned in their place so that we may be comfortable, that the God may be served. And any politician who had the courage in any Western nation to say to the people, "You must accept a severely reduced standard of living," would at present be laughed out of the polling booth. This is a very demanding idol. Let us think secondly and briefly of the subtlety of this idol. Some idols are ugly and frightening, but this idol is not. He is attractive and pleasant. What the idol offers is good. It is from God. It has been made, created by him and given by him, placed on this earth for us to receive and to enjoy and benefit from. We are not anti-materialists. We are not ascetics. We are not people who think that the material is bad. We're not people who think you should go away from the world and torture and humiliate your body and live in a state of abject poverty. We're not like the hermits. That's not a biblical view. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every good gift comes down from above. These things are created to be received with thanksgiving. They are from God. Other idols offer to us evil things. But what this idol offers is not in itself evil. And this idol does often keep its promises. There has been a fantastic change in our Western world in the last 100 years. The standard of living of the common man has been raised to a peak unknown in previous history. And in our society today, we live in incredible comfort, wealth, and luxury. Even the poorest of us. Even the poorest of us. The idol has kept his promises. Serve me, he says, and I'll make you rich. And often he does. Serve me, worship me, and I'll make your life more comfortable. And often he does. He is pleasant. What he gives us is so good. And he does give it. And this idol is subtle also because it can invade our hearts very gradually, imperceptibly, unconsciously. The false god is willing to share power at first with other gods, even the true God, even Jehovah. It's only later that he demands our full obedience. You see, friends, we mustn't be hypocrites. We must be honest. There's no use me ranting away this evening about materialism. And you all sitting nodding your heads and saying, quite right. And then we go out and we get into our comfortable cars and turn up the heater a little bit and drive home and go into our beautiful homes and walk across the carpet and sit down in the armchair and have a discussion about what bun we're going to have for supper. But we enjoy these things. We enjoy these things. We benefit from them. They mean a lot to us. They mean a lot to us. Let's be honest. We save up for something. We buy it. We look at it. We enjoy it. We bring our friends in. You say, this is what I do. Have you seen my new Cougar? Have you seen this new record player that I've bought? And we feel pleasure in that. We thank God for that. It's the subtlety of it. It's so easy to be tempted. That's why I want to come now to the failure of the idol. And at this point, I would like you to look particularly at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. There's so many passages in Scripture that we could look at, but I chose this because here in these six verses, the Lord shows us so clearly three of the great failures of the idol of materialism. This God is a failure in the first place because the idol doesn't last. The idol doesn't last. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Money doesn't last. Things don't last. Our life on earth is short. We are aging, deteriorating physically and mentally. We're subject always to the threat of disaster or death. Every one of us knows that perfectly well. If tomorrow morning you or I were to hear bad news about the health of someone we love very much, suddenly, everything we owned would be worthless. And we would give it all. We would give it all. Supposing you were to hear that your child was seriously ill. Just in one sentence, your whole world would be turned upside down. And the God of materialism would be shown for the empty, useless idol, what good would your house be, or your car, or your possessions, or your bank account? You would give it all, you would give it all for that person you loved. And when we come to the end of our lives, we're going to have to leave these things. And they won't matter then. They won't count then. They'll be empty, useless, and worthless. We'll realize that we have stored up treasures, but now we have to leave them. We have to lose them. Our fellow men are working for something which can't last and won't last. Remind yourself of that. If you ever find yourself getting too wrapped up in things, or too tempted by money, you know they're not important. And then secondly, Jesus says this idol doesn't enlighten. Verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye affects the whole body. If we can't see, our whole body suffers. And Jesus here, I think, is speaking of the eye rather as the ambition, the goal, the desire of life. But he says if we have a noble ambition, then our whole life is dignified. If we have a degrading ambition, then our whole life is devastated and degraded. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. The person who lives for things becomes subhuman. Less than human. We're not just things. And if we live for something that is less than ourselves, then we impoverish ourselves and lower ourselves. I've spoken before of that horrible phrase which the politicians use today of the consumer. The consumer. A pig at a trough is a consumer. And that's how our political masters see us. And how they treat us. We're only interested in the quality of the next bucket of swill. We are consumers. We have to say no. We are more than that. We can dream. We can love. We can hope. We can give. We can sacrifice. We can pour ourselves out into others. We can worship. We can sing. We can create. We can make beauty. We are men and women made in the image of God. And we're not made to give ourselves to money or to possessions. We're made for a greater destiny than that. When I see a materialist, tempted to say, how little you make yourself as you root in the trough. If your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? A rich businessman in Jordanstown tonight, sitting looking at his luxury home and thinking of his investments is a tragedy to make the angels weep. A man made in the image of God, and he's living like a beast. This idol degrades. And then lastly, this idol doesn't let go. Doesn't let go. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. And the word there in the Greek is to serve as a slave. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You may think you can. You may start off by serving them both, but in the end, we all have to choose. The idol doesn't let go. Of course, in the rest of Matthew 6, and I would encourage you to read it, Jesus points us to the alternative to the idol. Our loving Father, the true God, who feeds us, who keeps us alive, who meets all our needs. He closes by saying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Many around us are worshipping the God of materialism. He's a cruel and demanding God. And if he is not stopped, he is going to destroy this nation of ours and bring it to utter and absolute ruin, as he has done often before in history. And if he is not stopped, there is no hope for our nation. Let us be careful that we are not infected by this idolatry. Let us be careful that we sit lightly to the things of the world. Let us be very careful that our heart is with the kingdom, and that we seek it first. Let us pray. Father, as we bow before you this evening, we are aware that you have never been worshipped in history by Christians who have been materially more comfortable than we are, who know so little of hunger, of cold, of need, of crushing want. Help us, O God, to search our hearts deeply and honestly, that we do not live as hypocrites, preaching against materialism in the comfortable awareness that we have more than enough. We do thank you for your provision for us, and we pray that you will give us grace and wisdom to know how to enjoy your gifts without idolizing them and letting them take your place. We pray that you will be our God, and that we will follow you alone. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.